Rabbi Nathaniel Braun, Congregation Brothers of Israel, Long Branch, New Jersey, recording for Friday, February 10th, 2017. We will learn the first to fourth Mishnayos, third chapter of Mishnah Sanhedrin. This Mishnah is actually very, very practical today. Dinei Mamonos Bishlosha takes three judges to deal with a monetary law case, and there are many Jews who go to Beit Din today to settle their financial matters. But as with Jews, we like to argue, and we don't trust each other so much. So I don't trust your Beis Din, and you don't trust my Beis Din. So what do we do? So the Mishnah proposes an interesting solution. It says, Zeh borer lo echad, v'zeh borer lo echad. The two litigants, each chooses their judge. Ushnehem, and they together, borer in lahen od echad, they have to then agree on a third judge. So each one sort of has, wouldn't say a judge in their corner because that would be bad, but somebody they trust. So each side has someone they trust, and the third is someone they mutually trust. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So says Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, shnei dayanim borerin lahen od echad. Now, the two litigants choose one, but it's not the two litigants who then choose a third. It is the two judges who then choose a third to sit with them. But that's called a zabla, zeh borer lo echad, and it's meant to give each person a sense of comfort with the judges in the Beit Din. Now the Mishnah says, I can disqualify an argument over whether we can disqualify your judge or not. Zeh posel dayano shel zeh, v'zeh posel dayano shel zeh, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, even after you choose it, I can say, I don't accept this judge. I don't trust him, whatever. You can't imagine how often you hear that today in the world of Beis Din. Nope, that one's connected to this one, and I connected up and down and right and left. I don't trust. It's pretty not wonderful. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, hold on. You can't just go around knocking people off, distrusting people and spreading whatever rumors about them or making claims. That's not okay. Chachamim say, what? Amasai, when can you disqualify a judge? Bizman shemevi alein raya shehen krovin opsulin. No, if you can bring proof, right, real proof in a Jewish court that they are either related, right, to each other or to one of the litigants, or they're disqualified to judge, then okay, that's fair. You've brought proof that they're not qualified. Avalim hayuk sheirin, if they're kosher, regular kosher Jews, o mumchen, or they're specialized judges, experts, mumcha. You can't just go ahead and disqualify them because you don't like them or you don't trust them. There has to be a real reason. You have to prove it. Zeb posel edav shel zeh, v'zeb posel edav shel zeh, divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, this is a very hard line to understand. I can disqualify your witnesses, says Rabbi Meir. Says who? Those are the witnesses against you. Gives you the right to disqualify them. Furthermore, you're a litigant in Jewish law can't testify. You're way too subjective. There's no testimony that we see in courts. It's not the way the Jewish court works. A person is considered karev etzel atzmo. A person is considered subjective in these matters. So what the Gemara says is that this must be a case where you and another witness can combine in a case where the opposing litigant has two sets of witnesses. All right, that's how the Gemara has to come to fix this Mishnah. So when there's two sets of witnesses and you're only disqualifying one and somebody else is coming with you, so the somebody else coming with you lends some credence to your position, and you're not really a nogea bedavar, you're not really a subjective personality because there's still another set of witnesses left. Okay, that's the position of Rabbi Meir according to the Gemara, but the Gemara had to do something because, read literally, we'd have no court system. You can't just disqualify witnesses because you feel like it. The Chachamim Omrim Emasai. The Chachamim say, even that's not okay. Bizman, when can you disqualify a witness? Bizman shehu mevi aleihem rai. You have to bring proof, shehen krovin opsulin, that they're either related, right, or they're puzzled, they're disqualified. We'll see the list of disqualifications in a moment. Avalim hayuk sheir, if they're good kosher people, regular Jews, in a yachal apostle, you can't come and disqualify them. I think intuitively, I certainly feel with the we feel more in line with the position of the Chachamim. Mishnah Bet. Generally, we assume that relatives, and we'll see the list in Mishnah Dalet, in fourth Mishnah, of those who are disqualified to judge. But the second Mishnah deals with a case where I'm willing to forego it, and I will accept upon myself somebody who was otherwise not qualified to judge me. Amar lo ne'eman alai abba. Right, the litigants say, I'm willing to accept my father as the judge. A father is absolutely a relative and absolutely disqualified. Or ne'eman alai avicha, your father can be the judge. But they all agree. Ne'eman alai shlosha roi bakar. I'll take three shepherds who know nothing about Beis Din. But I accept their verdict upon myself. Rab Meir Omer Yochel Achzer, but Rab Meir says you can always retract even after the verdict, which is pretty hideous. Because I guess then what's the, you know, there's no downside, so they find against you and you say, no, I'm just kidding, I really want a real Beis Din. Chachamim Omer in Yochel Achzer, but the Chachamim say no. Once you accept it upon yourself as binding, you can't go back. Now maybe it's not a wise idea to do it, but once you've made that commitment is binding. A similar case, second half of the Mishnah. Hayachayav lechavero shvua. Let's say you owe your friend an oath in Beit Din. Okay, so you came to court, you presented the facts, and Beis Din says, you now, right, A owes B an oath. You have to swear in court that either you do owe the money, you don't owe the money, you owe this amount, you don't owe, whatever the shvua is. You're obligated in court to an oath. V'omer lo darli b'chaye roshcha. And the guy says, you know what? You don't have to swear in court. Swear to me on your head. Right? The life of your head. But that must have been a language of, I swear, you know, we say, I swear to God. Swear to me on your mother's grave. Like that. So there are these phrases that come about. Right? The life of my head must have been a similar phrase to my mother's grave back in the day. Which essentially says, you can take a oath out of Beis Din to replace the one in Beis Din, which is certainly more severe and more awesome and more, you know, frightening. So Rav Meir is consistent. He says, you can go back. Right? You can always demand more. Chacham Mamrim, any Yachalachzibur. Chacham say, no, once you've given the person that out, you're stuck with it. Again, maybe you shouldn't have done it. I'm not saying it's a wise idea to do the Chachamim, but once you did it, you've done it, and you're stuck. All right, Mishnah Gimel and Dalet will now give us those disqualified to give testimony, and then those who are related and can't give testimony or judge. All right, it goes for both. You can't be a judge and you can't give testimony to a relative. So Elu hen apsule Mishnah Gimel, hamesachek bikubia, dice players, gamblers, vehamal veberibis, somebody who loans on interest, mafriche yonim. Or there's two options for what that is. That might be also somebody who has like pigeon races, or somebody who entices the birds to come and is a rabbinic form of theft. But in the last category, besocha reishvis, those who do business, right, transact with the fruits of the sabbatical year, of the Shemitah year, which you are not allowed to do. There's a prohibition on doing business with fruits of the Shemitah year. So Amar Rabbi Shimon, says, "B'tchila hayu kohenosan osevei shviis." Originally, anyone who gathered fruits during the sabbatical year was considered dishonest and not allowed to judge or give testimony. And the Kahati explains that the poor people would go and collect, which is their right, but then they'd go and sell it, and people would buy it from them, and that already looks like doing business on the sabbatical year. Right? The poor people should have collected it and eaten it, and that would have been good, but to go ahead and sell it is doing business. So originally, anyone who collected Shemitah fruit would be in this category. Misherabu ha'anasim. Once the tax collectors, those who literally, anus is to be forced. Right? Onus is actually the Hebrew word for rape. The king used to send tax collectors and make you give a certain amount, so the people would go out in the Shemitah year and they would be collecting to give to the king, so that, you know, God knows what wouldn't happen. So then Chazru likrosan socha reishvius. Then they allow those who were collecting in the sabbatical year to testify and judge, because they weren't doing it to do business. They were doing it to avoid some kind of divine, you know, not divine, but royal decree or royal edict of terribleness or something like that. Right? Terribleness, that's what happens when you record at the end of the day, not the beginning of the day. Language, you lose your language skills. So my apologies. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Emasai. So now Rabbi Yehuda goes back and he says, we're going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, when is it true that a gambler is disqualified from testimony and judging? Bizman she'en lahem umnus elahu. That's only when there is no other profession for them but this. They are professional gamblers, OTB experts. But if they have another profession, and this is just a hobby, says Rabbi Yehuda, that is, they are allowed to give testimony and to judge. Again, so you have your gamblers, you have your lenders on interest, those who are involved in shvius, originally anyone who collected, and then afterwards only those who actually did business, and then the further qualification of, is this your profession or not? Last Mishnah for the week, Mishnah Dalet. Here are the relatives, list of relatives that are disqualified. Right? The halacha assumes that relatives are objectively subjective, if you will. They cannot be objective. We can't ask one brother, father, son to testify against each other and expect there to be an absolute truth and objectivity there. The Elu Hein HaKrovin. So here are the Krovin. Aviv, your father; Achiv, your brother. It's only males who are witnesses and judges. So these are all relatives of the male. Achi Aviv, your father's brother. That's your uncle, right? Your paternal uncle. Ve'achi Imo, that is your maternal uncle, your mother's brother. Uba'al Achoso, that is your sister's husband. That's your brother-in-law. Uba'al Achos Aviv. That is the husband of the sister of your father. So that is your aunt's husband, your uncle through marriage. Uba'al achos imo. And the husband of your mother's sister. That's your maternal uncle through marriage. Uba'al imo, your mother's husband. That would be your stepfather, because otherwise that would be your father, and that would be the first one. Vichamiv Vigiso, right, that is your father-in-law and your brother-in-law. That's the list. Hein uvnehen vichosnehen. It's them, right? That entire list, their children and their sons-in-law. Right, of the entire list, they're all disqualified for giving testimony or adjudicating a case in which you are involved. Vichorgo levado. Your stepson is your choreg. That stepson is disqualified, but anyone who's connected to the stepson is actually not disqualified, as opposed to the entire other list. Rabbi Yossi zu mishnas Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi says this is the teaching, the tradition of Rabbi Akiva. Aval Mishnah Rishona, but originally the first Mishnah taught Dodo, your uncle, Uben Dodo, the son of your uncle, who is your cousin, your first cousin. V'chol ha-ro'oi li-yorsho, and anyone who, in one way, shape, or form, would be fit to inherit you. The Kahati, instead of going through everyone on that list, I'll simply tell you that the Kahati tells us that the only difference between the Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Akiva is that Rabbi Akiva includes these three, and I'll give you them in a moment, which would not be included in the first Mishnah, i.e. relatives who are not going to inherit you, and that is Ba'al Achos Imo, right, the husband of your mother's sister, so your maternal uncle through marriage, will never inherit you. Ba'al Imo, your stepfather, will never inherit you, and your brother-in-law will never inherit you. They are relatives, but they won't inherit, and therefore they are included in Rabbi Akiva's list. They are left off the list of the Mishnah Rishona. Another qualification, or interesting question. V'chol ha-roi le-yorsho, v'chol ha-karav lo ba'oso sha. right, anyone who is related to you at that moment, which sets up the next piece, right? You can have people who are related to you, but then become unrelated to you, right? That's usually has to be through marriage, right? Hayakara v'nischrachek ha'reizeh kasha. I mean, if they were originally, let's say, married to your sister, and then they got divorced or whatever it was, so they're no longer related to you, so that person is kosher. They can be a witness, they can be a judge, right? So they actually qualification, they have to be related to you at that time. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, afilu mesa bita v'yesh lo banim mimena hare zeh karov. So Rabbi Yehuda says there's an exception, right? If your, God forbid, right, chas v'shalom, your daughter dies, but they had, she had children from her husband, with her husband. So now you have this father who has a son-in-law who is the father of his grandchildren. Unfortunately, his daughter passed away. Rabbi Yehuda says, in that case, that son-in-law is still considered a relative, right? Maybe the connection through the children. But in that case, Rabbi Yehuda says, they would still be considered a relative. That concludes our learning for today. Please come back. Join me on Monday.